The sixth chapter. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He, God, is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Giving is a difficult thing. I mean, pure generosity, sincere, true giving is difficult. Giving with conditions is not so hard, but it's not true giving. Giving with expectation is not so hard, but that also is not true giving. Such deeds, while well-intentioned, are all types of contracts, or at least an exchange of goods and services. Giving with condition or expectations is a contract. And handing money to some person on the street corner while waiting for the light with the hope that they don't spend it on booze is a condition, a gift with unstated strings attached. Dropping a couple of dollars in a jar at the store for the soccer club is a good thing, I agree. But do you expect back a smile and a thank you? How would you feel if there were no thanks or smile? A true gift would not expect it. Last week, I gave my wife a Valentine. I wanted to do it. I wanted to make her happy, and I knew she would respond with a kiss. It is a good thing. Yes, yet what was that really a gift? A true gift would have been a Valentine without expectation of affection of a kiss. Such exchanges, buying Girl Scout cookies because scouting is good and the children are cute, shoveling out the neighbor's driveway because they are nice neighbors, and donating used clothes because I don't need them anymore and can use some closet space, giving money to World Hunger because people need it, a birthday card, are all very good, all show kind hearts. All are Christ-like deeds in a selfish world. Keep showing your heart these ways. But pure giving is more difficult. Giving without expectation. Giving without further thought. Giving not to feel good or hope for thanks, but giving solely because that is who you are. Such pure giving is difficult and takes practice. That is the kind of generosity Jesus is calling for in this reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Giving with no strings attached, no expectation of how the gift will be used, no thought of the gift after it leaves your hand. Pure giving is about the giver, not about the gift or the recipient. Love, even when enemies hate and curse and abuse, because that is who you are, a person who will not spite. It is an art. Giving, generosity of this nature is an art form that needs practice, some imagination, inspiration, and much dedication. Yet imagine a life lived so generously. Imagine what it would be like to live without expectation. Not to be cold because you gave away all your clothes, but letting go of concern whether you did what you did was wise. Letting go of dwelling on whether the other person is appreciative. Letting go of wondering if you will need that money for something later. Giving and forgiving is an art form. Giving and forgetting is a spiritual skill. 41 years ago, I arrived at Luther Seminary for my second year of training as a pastor. I arrived on campus that fall, but I had no money. I'd just come from a low-paying summer job that mostly provided living expenses, and I arrived with just $24 to my name. $24 to cover tuition, housing, food, textbooks, and supplies. I arrived on campus, and the financial officer was not happy. I had few options. God had called me for ministry. I was clear on that. I had no idea how my education could happen, and that was clear too. I had no job waiting for me, no place to sleep that night, nothing more to eat since breakfast, and no funds to even buy notepaper and a pen. Have you ever experienced such hopelessness? The feeling of having no options, no future, the despair of a dream that will not be yours. I arrived on campus for my second year of seminary with nothing but the vague notion that I had to show up, and the financial officer was not happy. And the rest of that afternoon, I sat on a bench outside that seminary building wondering what were my options. I sat on a bench with no future, and I prayed, not sure that God was even listening. And later that afternoon, I was called back in. The financial officer had gone out of his way to cobble together some resources. I was given a job at the library. I was given a seminary grant for low-income students. And then he introduced me to a men's group at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Stuart, Minnesota. A dozen men at a small, rural, southern Minnesota church had been praying, had been meeting for prayer and Bible study for months. And they decided to put up money for students going to seminary. As their response to God who provides for them faithfully. Farmers know what it is to trust God. This men's group of St. Paul's Lutheran Church gave me a no-interest loan with no collateral and no expectation of paying it back, solely for the purpose of making sure that I could become a pastor. It was pure gift from stranger to stranger, done only out of their spirit of generosity and gratitude to God. And here I am, your pastor today. Their gift 4 decades ago made it possible for me to serve you and congregations in Chicago and Delaware and Baltimore and Pennsylvania and here in Minnesota. More so, those men became my cheerleaders as I continued seminary. They gave me opportunity to supply preach in their church. They encouraged me with their letters. They let me know that I had people behind me. Now, when you experience generosity from others like this, it does something inside. Those men were a true godsend. I now was acutely aware of the generosity of our God. There was no expectations of me, but such generosity fosters further generosity. Not only did I pay back that loan within a few years following ordination, but I paid back even more so that I could be a part of those men loaning to future pastors. Experiencing such generosity without expectation showed me how to live generously. And living generously opens opportunity I would not otherwise have. Generosity opens opportunities unavailable in any other way. For several years, I've had the privilege and honor of friendship with a homeless family. Poverty has since taken its toll on them. Joseph is now deceased for lack of good medical care. Liz, last I heard, is in Chicago evading arrest warrants here in Minneapolis, and their son is being raised by a grandmother. Poverty continues to be a persistent evil and America's shame. Poverty is America's paramount sin. For several years, Joseph and Liz had let me in on their life, and I can tell you stories of them that would raise the hair on the back of your neck. But they also showed me how generosity begets generosity. When cash is given at a street corner to a person carrying a cardboard sign, that money may go to beer. We can never be sure. It also may go to a couple of other people you don't even see. It may be shared with a homeless friend who did not get charity that day. It may be used as payment for a needed bike part, crucial for transportation for those who don't have cars. It may buy infant formula for some other mother on the street. It may be spent on a bus token that provides a warm place to spend the night when all the shelters are full. There is an intricate shadow economy in the homeless world outside our conventional capitalist system, a shadow economy that is based on giving and receiving out of sheer generosity. And we can learn much about Jesus from our homeless neighbors. Loving enemies, refusing to return violence for violence, bless, speak well of anyone who slanders. Share what you have. All our expressions of God's generosity all derive from a generous spirit. Mostly we have the pleasure, and God is certainly pleased with giving gifts and enjoying helping and receiving thankful smiles, and they are surely good. Sharing and giving, thanking and honoring are all good. And then there's the art of giving without expectation of thank you, without hope of it being used wisely, giving without strings attached. And it makes no sense in a contractual world. At the time of Jesus, in the Roman culture of that time, and in our own time still, such giving makes little sense. It appears naive. It seems a sign of weakness, of sentimentality. It appears as wasting hard-earned money. Strength in a world of contracts and accumulating is supposed to be above emotional reaction to hardship and above others' misfortunes. It's the attitude today of America first, and what's mine is mine. Now, the gods in Roman times, the gods of the Romans in Jesus' time, had little care for humans, and the gods only bestowed blessing when humans would praise them. The commercial god of America protects those well off and considers the poor a drain on the rest of us, and segregates and isolates to create enclaves of wealth. And so we are on the brink of the same disaster that has historically befallen soul-stratified societies. So here again, verse 36. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. The Greek word for mercy here is about being sympathetic and grieving another's plight, sympathetic to the point of wanting to help and to make it right. Roman demigods and America's semi-god stands aloof of others' misfortunes. But our God Almighty, strength above strength, would emotionally react to suffering to the point of grieving our human condition, the exact opposite of any lesser Roman god, the exact opposite of our secular gods. Acting out of God's self and God's compassion, God gives without regard or reward or recognition. Merciful, bearing with another's plight, in this together with us, God gives what we need. God joins our human condition to share in our sufferings and struggles. And then Jesus tells us to be merciful in this way, giving without regard or reward or recognition. We find that same mercy, that same blessing and gift somehow coming in return, a good measure, packed down like brown sugar, shaken together to fill all the crannies and get as much blessing as possible, and then some more running over just because God wants to. We will see gratitude beget generosity again and again. Our God is generous to sinner and saint, generous to the ingrate and the thankful, to the worthy and to the not. God blesses and provides for Christians and those who are not. God gives all we are and all we have. We can never outgive God. We will always receive, whenever we give generously. And that is what Jesus is telling us in this gospel. Amen. Let us sing.
As we continue to think about the overflowing gifts of generosity that bring peace to all peoples, there are a few words in the refrain of our hymn of the day that may be unfamiliar. The word Shanti is Sanskrit and is present in the Hindu and Buddhist traditions. Shanti means peace. Pax is from the Western Christian tradition, also meaning peace. Shalom from the Hebrew means well-being and peace. And Maslaha is from the Arabic, which also means reconciliation.